Hey, everybody, welcome in. Thanks for joining in with us today. You know, we continue our trip through candidate country today, and I know that you know that I encourage you all to listen to the candidates before you vote. You can listen to them here today. I'm excited to have our three more city council candidates with us today, and they are Pam Duquette, Kyle Scheibner, and Grant Simmons, and they are with us today here in the studio, and I hope you're all out there listening and enjoying this change in the weather. All right, I want to let you know also there's a candidate conference coming up or a candidate forum coming up at the library on October the 30th at 5:30 in the afternoon. It's another opportunity for you to listen to candidates and to ask maybe your own questions that you might have if we don't get to everything today. So hold your vote until you've met the candidates or you've heard the candidates, until you feel in your heart that you know who you want to vote for. All right. With all that, we're going to take our first break right now. When we come back, it's Candidate Country.
One thing North Idaho's high school sports teams are renowned for is their inseparableness. No matter what's happening out on the field or the court, they stick together. And we're not talking about just the players either. Coaches, students, parents, fans, they're all one big happy family. That's why Mountain West Bank is so proud to sponsor North Idaho high school sports, because we're part of that family too. Mountain West Bank. Today, tomorrow, together. Oh yeah, member FDIC.
It's time to see what's new at Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
At the Co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape to the woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. We can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Minimum purchase required. Interest accrues from date of purchase, but is waived if paid within promotional period. Go to windowappointmentnow.com for full offer details.
Attention all homeowners. Do you know when to replace your windows? Feeling too hot or cold? Fog between the glass? Spending too much on expensive energy that literally goes out the window? It's definitely time to replace. If you've put off replacing windows in your home because it's too expensive, here's great news. You can now get a free in-home window consultation and free price quote from Renewal by Anderson. And right now, you can save $375 off every window and $750 off every door. Just text MELT to 200-300 for your free consultation on top quality affordable windows or patio doors for $0 down, zero payments, and zero interest for a year. That's right. You don't pay a dime for an entire year. Text MELT to 200-300 right now to save $375 off every window and $750 off every door. But hurry, these big dollar savings won't last long. Text MELT to 200-300. Don't wait. Text the word MELT to 200-300. Text MELT to 200-300.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. All right, let's get it going. Say hello and welcome with me to Kyle Scheibner, Grant Simmons, and Pam Duquette. No incumbents in this group. They're all vying for the top votes to serve on the Sandpoint City Council. We're going to let the candidates introduce themselves to you. We're going to start with Grant Simmons.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I'm Grant Simmons. Lived in Sandpoint for about 16 years. Moved here in 2006. And quite frankly, this town is a dream come true. It has made all of my dreams come true. I love this town. Originally from Colorado, grew up there, went to the Air Force Academy there, was a pilot in the Air Force for a bit, lived all over the planet, lived all over the U.S. And when we drove across the Long Bridge in June 24th of 2006, we knew this was the spot. And worked for Coldwater for a bit, finished up there as a VP of the e-commerce, ran the website, but took another opportunity. And so for about a 3.5 year period, I didn't live in Sandpoint, but there was this huge gravitational pull to come back. And quite frankly, hopefully my wife's not listening, but every 6 weeks or so, she would break down in tears when we didn't live here. What can we do to get back? How can we get back to our best friends? Two of our three kids were born here, made and born here, and the third kid was made here, born in Florida. And when there was an opportunity to move back, we took it and knew we had to. And this is it. And if you're asking me why I'm running, it's because I am intent to safeguard that for the next generation. This town has made every dream I can think of come true, and it has been an absolute miracle for me.
All right. Thank you, Grant Simmons. The next one up to introduce is Kyle Schreiber.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me to be here and speak. So I was born and raised in the West, and I've lived almost my entire life in mountain towns like ours. And, you know, my career has been in marketing, and I often, when I say that, people think I'm talking about advertising or convincing people to buy something. But really, to me, marketing is going out and finding out what your customers need and then making a plan on how to fix whatever problem that is. And so that's really the approach that I think we need with city government. Instead of saying, here's this fancy new thing and trying to convince people that they want it, we should start by finding out where the problems are in our community and making a plan to address those. Like I said, I've lived in several mountain towns around the West, and I've seen, you know, this expansion of growth and similar problems to what we're Sandpoint is facing now, really ruin communities like ours. And so that's why I'm running for council is, you know, I see that we're at a crossroads and we really need to take action in order to maintain and preserve the unique Sandpoint that we all love.
All right. Thank you, Kyle Schreiber. And now Pam Duquette, tell us why you're running. Okay. And about yourself, I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you again also for having me this morning or afternoon. I'm Pam Duquette. I am a 40-year resident of Bonner County. I own a home in Sandpoint. I raised two children to adulthood here. I have several grandchildren, some in the west part of the county, some in the east. All of them are going to schools in both districts. I'm a retired public educator. I went back to school later in life after being a reforestation self-employed contractor through Bonner and Boundary County. I care a lot for the environment. I also worked at Schweitzer for 20 years, have a 20-year my lifetime pass, which is pretty exciting. Okay, so why I'm running, because I, too, love Sandpoint. I've been here for a long time, seen a lot of change. I want to make sure my kids who are struggling to afford homes here can at least remain here. My grandchildren as well, I want them to enjoy the area as I have. I'm a conservationist at heart. I do a lot of volunteer work with conservation groups. I also volunteer on KRFY and Kinnikinnick Native Plant Society's Education Committee. So I'm filling my time. People say if you want to make change, you want to help give back, run for office. So here I am, my first foray.
All right. Thank you, Pam Duquette. I'm going to keep it with you, Pam. The question to the whole group, same question, is I want you to name what you consider to be the top problems for Sandpoint and your specific solution or a specific part solution.
Boy, growth. Growth has, I think, really separated us, caused a lot of concerns, a lot of traffic. I guess mostly right now concerned with traffic. Traffic tends to want to run me out of here. how you solve the traffic issues, I think we need to go back to the multimodal plan. We had some good ideas on how to route the traffic west of Division at one time. It was quite a while ago. I would like to go back to that. I have been concerned about the truck traffic through town. I have reported to the city several streets that had green truck signs on that should not have been because they are not on the transportation plan. So they were taken off, which was good. Now we just have to get the truckers to break the habit of going like down Pine Street. They've already put a sign on Superior. It's ruining our roads. It's not safe to travel on bike and walk like I like to. I worry about the children. Did you say okay? Like, are you?
No,
am I done?
I'm
good. It's okay. I'm good. That's pretty much a biggie, I think.
All right. That's your top one. Same question to Grant. What's your top problem and your solution?
Yeah, top one for me is housing affordability. I would probably combine that with infrastructure through this sort of lens of growth, right? And the reason I talk about housing affordability is, you know, all of my stints in Sandpoint have been entrepreneurialism, right? And so whether we think like the young, hungry professionals that we had out north of town or what we built at Cochava and the team I've built there. So under my purview, I have 9 data scientists, all with tons of experience, tons of economic viability. 3 of them would love to live in Sandpoint, but they can't, right, because of housing affordability. And it's not like we're paying chump change. So if we can't afford houses in Sandpoint, what about our cops? What about our fire folks? What about our first responders? And you know, you start to wind up with some really disjointed communities when the folks who care for your community don't live in your community. And quite frankly, I'm fearing that we're heading towards that. And it is a bad road for us. So that would be my number one.
And
in terms
solution,
of what to do about it,
quickly,
is you got to put the pain where it belongs. And so this is where we got to put the pain back on the developers. Now, the reality is that this has to be constructed very deliberately through things like planning and zoning, which I've been on for a couple years. But really, it is a guiding principle towards all of this. And for anybody out there who hasn't read the comp plan, please read the comp plan. It sets the path for a lot of this stuff. But that's the mechanism for going forward.
All right, Kyle, same question to you. Top problem and your solution.
Yeah, so you know, I would say our critical infrastructure is our top problem. We have crumbling roads. We have a wastewater treatment plant that's way overdue for replacement. But along the same lines of what Grant said, I would consider affordable housing part of that critical infrastructure, because if we don't have someone who lives here to run our wastewater treatment plant, then what good is a new wastewater treatment plant? If we can't hire plow drivers because they can't afford to live here, then what good are new roads? And so in terms of what I would do to address affordable housing, I have several plans. One would be, the low-hanging fruit is better enforcement of our short-term rental ordinance. Every illegal Airbnb is a potential home for a local worker. I also have, not to get too far in the weeds here, but there's a lot of communities like ours do deed incentive programs that incentivize both developers, but also I don't think we need to rely solely on developers. We can incentivize property owners to rent long term and to sell to local workers. Other communities are doing this, and it's not something that's beyond our reach.
All right. Pam, to you. Two of our candidates have talked about housing already, housing affordability. I ask you, do you agree that somehow housing, and we can go ahead and open up the door to a housing authority, is the purview of government, that this is somehow what government needs to direct? Do you agree or disagree?
I do agree that housing is an issue. If 3 out of 4 jobs in Sandpoint are held by people out of town, this also exacerbates the commute, the traffic. Housing, I have a son who will probably never own a home. He is renting, and it's a burden. He's a hard worker. I do believe that it is paramount as far as the city helping with that. I know there are federal programs, but the city, if we consider a housing authority, I think we need to make sure we're doing it the right way, maybe working with other local communities. I've also researched other towns having the same issue. It is not just an issue for us. It's an issue for all towns like us and other towns that are not like us, I guess, as well. I think the incentives are good. I've looked at climate resilient homes. I have been entertained with a notion of cooperative mobile home parks, which is interesting going on in Oregon, where people buy into it. They have a say in how it's run, and they can keep their landscape up, and they have pride in it. And it doesn't take as much room, and mobile homes are less expensive. So that's something I've looked into materials, because lumber is ridiculous, so I've looked into alternative materials. I think your question was, is government a part of that? Sure, if you want to have a healthy economy and a community, they need to be housed safely.
All right, good. I'm looking for specifics, Grant. Incentives, do you agree? This is just a part of the question, but yeah. Do you agree that some businesses get incentives and tax breaks and others don't, and that government can play those things, and that we would have a housing authority with staff and benefits and ongoing, bureaucracy? So I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, would you address those
concerns?
That's
the push-pull, isn't it? That's the push-pull, and heavy-handed governmental authority in North Idaho isn't going to play real well, right? And so if we have a housing authority, we need to be very, very careful about what it is and what it says and what it does. Well, so the city had talked about coming up with, do we come up with a housing authority to address things like this? And so there's plenty of examples in even Idaho, and the state has its notion of what a housing authority is and should be. Not very well defined, as you might imagine.
Right.
And so this thing could take on a life of its own, such that there's real opportunity for it to send some unintended consequences out into the community by being that heavy-handed mechanism. Now, should something be done? Does government play a role in that? Yeah, I think so. Because if not, what are you left to? Then you're left to a free market. And maybe that's the right thing to do. But then at the end of the day, I think we can all imagine the incentives of outside money that would flow in given a fully free market environment. So this is the push-pull. This is why you have city councilors.
All right. And Kyle, the same comment from you on this housing issue. It is a hot button issue. Housing authority, that's another whole topic in a way to affordable housing and what government can do about that, apart from a housing authority. So what do you think of all this? And what do you think of the comments that your fellow candidates have made?
Yeah, I'm skeptical of the city's push for a housing authority. That should have been preceded with clearly stated goals and a plan on how we're actually going to accomplish those goals. And perhaps a housing authority could be one piece of that plan. But starting with a housing authority, that housing authority law was created back in the 50s and 60s and isn't necessarily appropriate today. I've been in communication with the Bonner Community Housing Agency. They've been operating and providing a lot of these services for 16 years. And I was concerned to hear that the city has not reached out to them at all to build on what they are already doing in our community. In terms of whether the government should be controlling housing here, the deed incentive program that I'm talking about is a free market solution where a homeowner could put their home on the market for whatever price they want, and a local worker can buy for whatever price they can afford. And the only requirement, and this is an opt-in program that we're not forcing on anyone, it just essentially creates a secondary market that the investors and the second homeowners can't participate in.
Can't participate in that price point?
No, because of the requirement that's put on the deed, it has to sell to a local worker.
Okay. I see. All right. Thank you for that. All right. Good discussion. I think that, you know, we've got a lot of other topics. Y'all know we could stay on housing for the rest of the program, but I want to just give you some ideas to ask at the forum coming up on Monday at the library, and or just to call their campaigns individually and explore these deeper. We're going to move on to other topics, but before that, we're going to take a break right now.
Want even more excitement on game day? It's time to get on Prize Picks, the best way to win big on fantasy sports. Here's how it works. Just pick 2 to 6 players and choose more or less on their stats. If you get them right, you could win up to 25 times your cash. It's quick and easy to make your picks. And with fast and safe deposits and withdrawals, Prize Picks is the place to play this season. Prize Picks has awesome weekly promotions, and they're the only daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, keeping you in the game even if one of your players goes down. Sweat it out. Watch your entry update in real time and continue the fun by making picks on second half and fourth quarter stats. Take your game day experience to the next level with Prize Picks. And right now, you go to prizepicks.com/primetime and use code primetime. Prize Picks is matching your first deposit up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/primetime with code primetime for a 100% deposit match. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details.
And paid for by Linear Marketing Group. Are you drowning in debt? Are you struggling to make minimum payments? Did you know that on average, a household with at least one credit card struggles with over $17,000 in credit card debt? If this sounds like you, know that it's not your fault. Credit card debt happens to good people. Credit card companies lure you in with low introductory rates and low minimum payments. Before you know it, you're in over your head. We've helped thousands of good people just like you become debt-free with our debt reset program that will dramatically reduce your debt down to a fraction of what you owe. Our debt reset program is customized to get you debt-free in as little as 24 to 48 months with one low monthly payment. If you owe over $10,000 in credit card debt or even personal loans, call 800-278-0630 now. There are no upfront fees or out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime until we succeed. Call now to see how the debt reset program can work for you. 800-278-0630. That's 800-278-0630. Again, 800-278-0630.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
KSPT. KBFI. North Idaho's radio.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. You know, we've got it going on with 3 of the 6 city council candidates. It will be on your ballot. The top 3 vote getters get to sit on the Sandpoint City Council. Today, we're talking with Pam Duquette, Grant Simmons, and Kyle Schreiber. And thank you again, you guys, for taking time out of your schedule to talk with our audience. I want to give you one more opportunity to list a problem that you see in a Sandpoint City government or Sandpoint City itself and what your solution is. And I don't know where I started the last time, but I'm going to start with Kyle.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, I think the base of all of our problems comes down to a lack of transparency and responsiveness in our local leadership, that you know, citizens aren't given enough information about why decisions are being made the way they're being made, and when they do speak up about concerns, those concerns aren't being addressed. And so we can talk about all these other problems, but until the citizens are really brought to the table with these decisions, it's going to be really hard to move forward with any of the problems that we have. And in terms of real solutions, you know, I, with my marketing background, I do have some ideas of how we can do a better job of reaching out to people. But ultimately, as a counselor, I think we need to slow down a lot of these decisions that are being made, table them, and make sure that we have all the information we need and that the public has all the information they need.
All right, Pam, to you. Another issue for you.
That would be my other issue. Also, public relations is lacking. I believe we need to do a better job. Otherwise, we are going to have a divided community because everybody is not getting the information needed to make informed decisions, I think, on big things that are happening. Big changes are happening. I think they're happening too quickly, and the community is not involved so much. I have emailed the counselors many times to not even get a nod that they got it. I just emailed something to them to help with the housing issue, something that I had learned from a friend in Whitefish, and I said in capital letters, please let me know you got this. I think I heard from three of them. It's not good. It's not going to work. It's not going to help anybody feel like their opinions are valued or that they need to take time to get involved. I would like to see more people involved come to the city council meetings, find out about problems, get their input out there so that the community is together on things. And if we have to push votes for big ideas, then that's democracy. If you lose your side, then you can feel good about it because everybody had a chance to have input.
All right. Thank you for that. Grant, same question.
Yeah, I would have picked theirs, but I'll move on to something different just to mix it up. I will. Let me touch on that just really quick. In full agreement, community engagement, I think, will go a far way to ameliorate a lot of misconceptions. It's better transparency. And so whether that means on off weeks, we have open forum meetings for folks to come in and give their 2 cents under a timer. There's a lot of ways that we could do that. I want to talk about sort of the preservation of community identity. And it sort of fits to the two things that we had talked about earlier, which was housing affordability and infrastructure, and being what I'll refer to as being, deliberate growth. And there's a real opportunity to lose our identity in that. But again, we get back to the push-pull of government. So, for instance, in planning and zoning, we'd had this notion of, do we, under new builds, come up with the 6 things that would make a Sandpoint home a Sandpoint home? A welcoming portcullis, overhanging eaves, contrasting trim. There were 6 on this. Now, that's pretty heavy-handed to put into planning and zoning code. Do we do that or do we not do that? And so, ultimately, my opinion doesn't really matter. What does the community want relative to this stuff? Do we want to enshrine things that make us us? And there's real opportunities to do that in government. But again, it comes back to the push-pull of, do we enshrine this in government or do we let people be individuals? And so there is
still community input.
We're still community input.
Yeah.
But, just because you'll hear a lot of people say, I don't like the big metal box that went up on that street. Well, there's nothing in the code saying they can't build a big metal box. And if that's something that we care about, then we need to get out and talk about why we don't like big metal boxes.
All right.
So, but you're hearing a lot of that right now. And quite frankly, there's probably an opportunity to move forward. But it's going to take, and I'm going to get back to it, is the community engagement again.
Real quick, yes or no, agree or disagree. I've heard so many people say they're hopeless about having any impact on the city. And, of course, maybe they're talking also county and Lake Pondere School District. But the idea is they get 3 minutes, and it's required by law. They get the feeling that nobody would listen to them if it wasn't required by law. And so they get 3 minutes. No reaction, no follow-up, nothing happens, and yet city staff are there with their resources, their staff, their PowerPoints, and they get an hour to present to city council. Agree or disagree that this is an issue, or is this just a perception? I think if people were not so hopeless, they might start attending the meetings. Agree or disagree, and I'll just start with Pam.
Agree.
Okay, Kyle?
Agree that it's a problem, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure what I'm agreeing with. Real quick,
upset that they're not being
so
listened to.
So my point is if you can't get your stuff together and present that in 3 or 4 minutes, then get your stuff together.
Oh, okay.
Because we have a lot of city business to administrate, and we want to hear everybody's voice. I would be fine taking it up to 5.
Okay, good.
But
what about planning commissions? Would you reinstate more community commissions? It's my understanding several have been discontinued. Yes or no, and maybe a comment.
Yes, I agree that we need to reinstate the advisory committees. It brings citizens in. They have an input. The mayor told me in an email once that I did get a response to that it is important for them to feel valued. And he said that it was the hardest decision he made to disband them. But
hard decisions are easy. Right. Yeah. People want to feel valued, but they also want to actually be listened to and not just be given, an attaboy. What do you think, Kyle? Important?
Yeah. In fact, my understanding is that it's written in our city code that we have to have advisory committees, and so we're breaking our own code by not having them. We absolutely must bring them back. In terms of whether 3 minutes is enough time, these are nuanced decisions, and I think that they do deserve more discussion than 3 minutes.
All right. And Grant, what do you think about the community commissions?
I'm a big fan of advisory committees. I would probably do the same thing at the neighborhood level, have neighborhood representation as well.
All right, good. Well, now we're going to kind of shift the focus a little bit. And Grant, I'll start with you. The question before you is, what has the city done recently that you really agreed with, that you thought was just a real power, good move that they made?
Oh, I'm going to do one because I made it. let's go back to a couple Wednesdays ago, which was an absolute train wreck of a city council meeting where the roughly about, what, Pam, 60 folks showed up? Weren't allowed to speak, give or take.
At least.
Yeah. So it was an absolute train wreck. The ostensible reason was folks want to save trees, right? Now, a couple of the foresters who was in that group came up with some remarkable language to include in the comp plan to protect antiquity trees. And so after chatting with them, said, hey, guys, we can do not only that, we can do one better. We're going to pull this back into planning and zoning. And we're going to protect antiquity trees on city property because we can do that. Here's what we're going to need your help with. We're going to need your help to define antiquity trees. And so we're going to pull you in. We'll let you know when it's noticed so that we can actually have
this conversation. So we're looking for what the city get good.
That it's good. The city's doing this. We're going to protect trees. And we're also going to incent private homeowners to protect antiquity trees as well. And we can break that into the code. You've never heard about that. All you heard about was that there was a really bad city council meeting on Wednesday, and not that any good had come out of it,
so
but
are
some
the,
good's coming out of
so
it.
So the traverse trees are going to be protected?
On the city lands for antiquity, we will bake into future code our ability to protect antiquity trees.
But not the current traverse trees that are slated to come down. That's just a question. Okay, so traverse is like not grandfathered in.
It's not in the code yet.
Okay.
So. There's nothing
what
to
was the real question?
What good has the city done lately?
Yes. Thank you very much, Grant. I got lost in the forest or something there for a minute. Kyle, what do you think the city has done right recently?
Well, we have a project to move the stoplight from 5th and Church down to 5th and Pine. I am supportive of that. It's currently billed as part of the long-term east-west project that I'm not I do not support and I will not support, but this particular piece of it I do think will help some of the cut through traffic in South Sandpoint. It'll help some of the traffic by the post office there. The thing we need to be careful with about it is that currently we have Pine and First out to the highway designated as a truck route. And I've been very vocal that I think we need to dial that back and make sure that we're not building this out as a truck route as we build this intersection.
All right. Excellent. And Pam, same question to you. What have they done right recently in your opinion?
Boy, I just had something I wanted to share. It had to do with what you gentlemen said. I can't remember right now.
Okay.
Because I was thinking what we've done well is I think promote arts and music and culture, the theater. We are a diverse community, and those things are great. And the fairs and the downtown, you know, I call it wine and art, but the art opening the community's abilities to share what they've done. We've got a lot of talent in our town, and I like that it's shared.
All right. Real good. We are going to take a break right now, and that's our last break. So when we come back, it's all radio, all candidates, just for you.
Get a grip on winter driving now before the rush. Head over to Gripshin Tire Pros for everything you'll need to stay safe this winter. Gripshin Tire Pros has your snow tires in stock now. Get a free wheel alignment check with your tire purchase and bring in your plow truck for free under vehicle inspection. If you're new to the area, don't rely on Google. Google has never driven in the snow. Come in and talk to the Traction Pros and get your grip on. Gripshin Tire Pros, where grip and traction meet the road. At Division at Highway 2 across from Sandpoint High School.
Wendy's new breakfast 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles let you create your own delicious combo. Choose from a sausage biscuit, egg and cheese biscuit, small seasoned potatoes, and a medium hot coffee. But it's obvious which combo's the best. Sausage biscuit and small seasoned potatoes. Well, maybe it's the fresh cracked egg and cheese biscuit with a medium hot coffee. Or two savory sausage biscuits. Whichever you pick, you can't go wrong. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's new 2 for $3 Biggie Bundles.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Not valid in a combo. Single item at regular price.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning. You're heading to the airport, right?
Yep. Thanks for checking. I like the car. How long have you been a rideshare driver?
About 3 years now. I really enjoy it.
Isn't it hard to make money these days with the price of gas being so high?
Not for me. I use Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get real money back when you get gas with the Upside app?
Yep, I get real cash back every time I get gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code TRUNK for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code TRUNK for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code TRUNK.
Ad paid for by the Sentinel Group. Attention Marines, military personnel, families, and contractors who were stationed at Camp Lejeune. Were you present at Camp Lejeune between August 1953 and December of 1987? You may be entitled to significant compensation. For nearly 34 years, those in the Marine Corps base Camp Lejeune were exposed to contaminated drinking water, resulting in devastating injuries, including several forms of cancer, adverse birth outcomes, Parkinson's disease, and more. North Carolina's procedural laws have prevented victims from getting the justice they deserve, but passage of the Camp Lejeune Justice Act of 2022 would allow you or a loved one to file a lawsuit seeking compensation for illnesses and injuries linked to the toxic water. Call today for your free consultation. 800-374-3125. Let our experienced attorneys fight to get you the compensation you deserve, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call 800-374-3125. That's 800-374-3125. Again, 800-374-3125.
97.1 FM is North Idaho's radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. I'm so glad you're with us today and that you have an opportunity to listen, get to know Pam Duquette, Kyle Schreiber, and Grant Simmons. They are all running for Sandpoint City Council. There are six people running, three positions. The top three vote getters are the ones that will be your city council representatives in the next years to come until they have to get reelected. So, or they give up and... No. Thank you for listening, and I encourage all of you to listen and then vote. So, okay, first question. Last week, the idea of a strong mayor. We need a strong mayor, strong mayor. And I want to ask you what that means to you, if you've heard that from the other candidates. Are you agreeing or disagreeing? And how does that connect with the city administrator that, for some reason, is catching a lot of flack and a lot of negative on we don't get to vote for this person or this position as voters, and so we don't feel like we have, again, an opportunity that voters don't feel like they have input. So tackle that thought. I guess, Pam, can I start with you on that?
Oh, sure.
And I'm going to move you guys along so we can get through this.
So if we did not have a city administrator, we would be able to have the department heads be in charge. I think that's a better better way to communicate between departments. A strong mayor would then be able to hear the department heads' opinions, accomplishments, problems, and could tackle those. You mentioned the staff coming to a city council meeting prepared with hour worth of sharing. Yeah, that just gives the city council time to what people have been saying, rubber stamp. So a strong mayor could control that. If we did not have that position, like I said, I think the department heads could handle all that needs to be done and the city staff.
Do you agree, follow up, Pam, do you agree that the city council, have I ever seen a vote that where they actually disagree with each other and where there's actually some strong back and forth or, you know?
Nope, and that's that 3 minutes. So when Grant says, yeah, 3 minutes is great, get your stuff together, you don't get any talk back. You don't get any feedback. They say thank you and move on, and hardly ever is a discussion in front of me about anything I have said, except for the last meeting when I was worried about the wetland and the frogs that are going to be concreted over.
All right. Thank you for that. Kyle, the same question to you about a strong mayor and the city administrator, and has that been good for Sandpoint, or has that like somehow weakened our discussions, our debates?
Well, you know, I've talked to several former city employees who left recently over the last few years, and not one of them cited lack of compensation or lack of housing as the issue they left. They cited the culture of leadership and the working conditions. And so it's definitely raises questions about this city administrator model that we're using. And, you know, I think it is dangerous to have somebody who isn't elected by the people to be in that much power. So as you pointed out, either way, we do need a strong mayor. Whether we keep the current model or whether we do away with that position, we need a strong mayor. We also need a strong council. I think that that's a good check on an administrator and a mayor, is to have counselors who are going to ask the right questions and are going to stand up for what they believe in.
And Grant Simmons, the same question to you. Strong mayor, city administrator, any issues there that you'd like to change if you were elected?
Yeah, it's, and I think, you know, you have to divorce sort of current situation from the framework. And I am a fan of a mayoral city administrator framework, being the mayor is the CEO. The chief administrator is the chief operations officer, such that the CEO sets the vision, the operation officer enacts that vision. And it provides professionalism. I'm a huge fan of professionalism, continuity. It keeps the role from being politicized, which I think we might run into trouble around here. I like it from a continuity standpoint. Now, I think you could look at recent history and look at some recent train wrecks, perhaps. And I think some of the what's been going on recently is probably a city administrator that's having to carry a bunch of water, potentially for a mayor who hasn't been around much. And that's probably going to piss off some people, but that's the reality as I see it. So I am not going to say anything bad about our current city administrator. I have three really solid interactions where I've seen him go above and beyond. But quite frankly, I think the burden that office is carrying right now relative to what is most recently perhaps not a strong mayor is really showing some cracks.
All right. 1 minute each. I'm going to open up a huge thing, but I just kind of want your top thought. I mean, you know, on what you're thinking, and that's the city beach plan. You can't believe what I've heard. You know, people just want, just fix Bridge Street, the bridge, and, but don't do all this other stuff for a while, or the marina change was great. So just real quick, and Kyle, I'll start with you. What's your top thought on the whole city beach plan? I'm sorry that we don't have a lot of time for this.
So I spoke in front of council and already gave these comments that, you know, I would support moving the boat ramp further away from the swim areas. There's safety issues of people getting hit by cars, hit by boats, as well as contamination to the water. That is not included in the most recent City Beach plan.
Okay, thank you for that. Grant, your top thought on the City Beach plan?
Yeah, I'm a fan of anything that gets people using that land more recreationally year-round. I'll leave it there.
Okay, and Pam, your thought?
Boy, in that quick of a time. They did not move the boat launch, which I know people have not liked where it is. I do like another spot for kayaking, non-motorized loads, because I'm a kayaker. I think the City Beach is well used. I do like some rewilding. I do like some of the goose mitigation. But the fancy, fluffy, we don't need. We have a beautiful beach. And I think it's well used and loved. Yeah. Maybe too much by out-of-towners. So perhaps like parking fees or boat launch fees for out-of-county might help us.
All right. That's been a lot of launches to make the Washingtonians pay more or something. We love our people from Washington, but make them pay.
We do.
All right. Listen, I can't believe it. We are up against time frame, but we've got time for you guys to say goodbye to our audience, how they can get in touch with you to ask more questions and whatever you want to say closing. And so I forget the way we started when we opened, but Grant, I'm going to begin
with you.
We'll
do it again. That's all right. Hey, so thank you again for this. Again, this is Grant Simmons. You can reach me at brandedfire@gmail.com. You can also look me up on Facebook. Quite frankly, my incentives are clear on why I'm running. This town's given me my family. It's given me my career. It's made all of my dreams come true. I wanna safeguard that for the next folks. I have thrown my back into this community. I've been on the Hospital Foundation Board for 5 years, been on planning and zoning for 2. Ask anybody who knows me. I have the appetite. I have the optimism. I have the drive. I love this town, and I wanna really just do right by it. And I think I have the right incentives. I'm a very good deliberator. You know, we have high-minded ideals about what this job is, but really the job is on Thursday you get a briefing and you deliberate it. You consume it over the weekend. You deliberate in the meeting to get through city business. And so you got to sit up there with 6 other folks that you got to be able to chat well with, and you got to be able to work through city business. And quite frankly, I think I'm the guy for the job.
And what's the connection for people to get in touch with you?
Yeah. So again, Grant Simmons on Facebook or brandedfire@gmail.com.
Brandedfire@gmail.com. All right, Kyle, the same question to you. Say goodbye to our audience.
Yeah. Thank you for having me and giving me a chance to share my thoughts. Yeah, if you're looking for someone who's not just going to listen to you but actually take action about the concerns that you raise, I'm your candidate. And I have a website, kyle4sandpoint.com, and I have some upcoming events where you can meet me and talk to me in person. And so just keep an eye on my website. Thank you.
All right, Kyle Scheiber, thank you for that. And again, it's kyle4sandpoint.com.
All spelled out.
All right. Not the number 4.
Exactly.
Okay. Good. All right, Pam, the same question to you. And say goodbye to our audience, please.
Okay. Thank you also for inviting me and for you out there listening. I want to be part of the solution, not just part of the problem. If you think that our city council needs to be more diversified, I feel like I would bring that interest and experience. I have passion for helping our community survive our issues. I have a Facebook page, my first one ever. I'm not real happy with Facebook, but it's Pam Duquette for Sandpoint City Council. And I have a Gmail, Pam Duquette, and this is the number 4@gmail.com, I think.
Okay.
Google
Pam.
You might
Duquette.
Google too. Google. Who knows? Yeah. I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
All right. And thank you to all of you. Really good job. I enjoyed it very much. Thanks everybody for listening. Come on back next week. We're going to talk to the 3 mayor candidates. We're going to have it going on. I don't know. I think strong mayor may come up again. Get to know the candidates up close and personal right here, unrehearsed and unedited. So until next week. week. This is Barbara saying take care of yourselves, take care of each other. May God richly bless you, my friends, and also please pray for Israel. Thank you.